in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
B&E with you, it is a busy but wet Tuesday morning, talking all things March Madness, World Baseball Classic, NFL signings and news, and yeah, college football, spring practice underway. Back, Longhorns are back from the break. Aggies are underway down in College Station. We'll talk plenty of college football as well, because that season never stops.
I'll tell you what, there's a place that I would love to be at for spring break football, and that would be with the University of Alabama, Nick Saban. That he must be a mad son of a gun right now. After the last 2 years,
by Georgia.
Oh, that would be great, great coaching and a great atmosphere to be in. And you're talking about some intense stuff going on in the spring when you think it's just kind of lollygagging-y. I'd love to be on that campus. I'd love to be in that football staff around that dude right now. It would be intense. Meetings would be intense. Practices is intense. His 2 years, you know, he couldn't wait to get back on the field.
Well, last year they had a down year, but they lost two games.
The down year.
Both on the last play of the game, right? I mean, essentially, in Texas, they beat Texas late in a one-point game here, but the loss to Tennessee, at Tennessee, and then LSU got them.
TV with him is just...
With David Pollack letting him know that Georgia has moved past his program. Oh, yeah, there'll be some intensity there. But they do have to replace Bryce Young and Will Anderson, and they're both coordinators, so there's a lot of change at Alabama this year in college football. But obviously, Nick Saban used to that, but that's a lot of things to transition through all at one time in Tuscaloosa. Speaking of that open there, that start up your Tuesday. I saw that I've actually downloaded a couple of these songs. So it's the 60th anniversary of the Rolling Stones. You know that? Six decades. They're celebrating that this year, and I think you'll see a lot of different tribute type things. But the first one I've seen, there's an album out called Stone Cold Country, and it's a bunch of country artists singing Rolling Stones.
Oh, really?
Tunes. There's some pretty cool ones. There's some bad ones, but there's ones I like. I mean, Marcus King, the great blues guy and great guitar player, he did a great "Can't You Hear Me Knocking" cover. Zach Brown Band did a Paint It Black cover that I like.
And I bet you that's great.
From Texas, Cole Wetzel did a song that "Shine a Light," which is really good. There's some good stuff on there. It's called Stone Cold Country, and if you're into those Rolling Stones, you might want to check that out. A little music tip for you there as we get it up. And start up your Tuesday to get you cranking up. And
I love crossovers. I didn't think there was anything better than Lionel Richie when the
country guys did Lionel Richie songs, he did duets with him, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, he did duets, with Willie. And I mean, that was unbelievable.
Yeah, the Rolling Stones nowhere to be seen on this album, but there's some pretty good stuff on there. There's probably like 15 songs that the Nashville folks have covered. There's some good stuff in there. But, Lionel Richie. Lionel Richie's going on tour with Earth, Wind, and Fire, is he not?
I think so.
Because my man Lionel continues to bring it on American Idol. With Katy Perry and Luke Bryan, they're doing it on ABC now. Lionel, he doesn't age.
All night long.
He's got some hits, though. He's one of those concerts you'd go to, and you would just sing along the whole time. Didn't you see him at ACL?
I did.
Didn't you kiss a lady you didn't even know?
Oh, well, that was down on the auditorium shores.
That was before you were remarried.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ty, he's watching Lionel Richie. What did he sing? Say You, Say Me, or what? What got you going when you just smooched this
dancing
lady
on the ceiling or some weird song?
And you were just dancing next to somebody, and this guy shared a kiss?
Yeah.
Yeah, you never know, man, when the moment strikes. And that was it.
I've had a lot of fun down there. You know, Pitbull on a rope.
Pitbulls on a rope there.
No.
At ACL Fest. Come on,
that was Marley Fest when it was called.
That's Auditorium Shores.
Yeah.
Reggae Fest.
Reggae Fest. So I just called it Marley Fest. Yeah. It was great.
Lionel Richie dancing on the ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like Ty gets his buddy ends up in the bed with him. It's like you just kissing some.
You know,
lady.
I've never seen the Rolling Stones at a concert.
I did. Here.
I did not see that. I have not ever seen the Rolling Stones.
Blew my
live.
Leg out, blew my tendon, my ankle walking 400 miles because the parking mess was so bad. But the concert itself was fantastic.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. Yes, I've seen them.
Yeah, so check that out. We've got the Rolling Stones. We've got Lionel Richie on the brain. We've got football on the brain. Let's dive into your headlines, your trending topics to tip off your Tuesday morning. UBO Business Services brings it to you. Start with the college hoops. And, yeah, on the heels of that Texas men's victory on Saturday night and a move into the Sweet 16, a lot of anticipation last night that the Texas women could follow suit. Didn't happen. Not a good night at Moody Center for Vic Schaefer's squad as their season came to an end with a 73-51 loss to fifth-seeded Louisville in the second round of the NCAA tournament. It was even in the first quarter, 16-all, but Louisville really created separation from there, outscored Texas 21-7 in the second quarter, and they remained in control on both ends, really suffocated Roy Harmon, the Texas point guard on defense, and really had their way with the Longhorns in that game. Louisville will advance to take on 8th-seed Ole Miss in the Sweet 16 in Seattle on Friday. Longhorn season comes to an end. They won the Big 12 regular season championship, but a disappointing finish for Vic Schaefer.
I need to apologize to the University of Texas for today and how my team played, and I'm accountable for that, and I'm the head coach. And, you know, it's my responsibility to make sure that we play a lot better than that.
On the men's side, Roddy Terry and the Texas men have begun prep for their second weekend of action into the NCAA tournament. They're going to head to Kansas City later this week to face third-seeded Xavier in the Sweet 16. Texas is open as a four-point favorite, according to the odds makers, over the Musketeers. They're going to meet in the final game of the eight games Thursday and Friday. It'll be an 8:45 tip Friday night from Kansas City. Of course, the early game there in KC will have the one-seed Houston facing Miami. Rick Pitino has been named the new head coach at St. John's. They're trying to reinvigorate that program, leaving Iona. Also from College Hoops, Georgetown has hired longtime Providence men's basketball coach Ed Cooley to be their new bench boss. Streaking Longhorn baseball team back in action tonight at UFCU Dish Falk Field, hosting Incarnate Word. Texas has won 10 in a row, headed into the midweek matchup. It's their final tune-up ahead of Big 12 conference play opening this weekend. Texas Tech will be in town beginning Friday. First things first, though, tonight with Incarnate Word. After taking the week off for spring break, Texas football team back on the practice field today. Workout number 4 of the spring. Program has announced that this week's practices will shift from the Denius Fields practice fields over to DKR. NFL Houston Texans continuing their busy stretch of moves and activity. Word that the club has agreed to a 1-year contract with former Cowboys tight end Dalton Schultz. Also a 1-year deal with the former Bills running back Devin Singletary. Thrilling finish at the World Baseball Classic last night. Japan scored 2 runs in the 9th inning to walk off Team Mexico 6-5. The final, they claim a spot in tonight's championship game facing the United States.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
On the text line, Phil wants to know, was Rodney Terry or Chris Beard coaching when they beat Gonzaga? That was still Chris Beard. Yeah, Chris Beard was still with Texas when they beat Gonzaga.
Second game, was it?
Yeah. And that was in November. And Creighton. And remember, Creighton, the Blue Jays are into the round of 16 as well. Texas beat them at the Moody Center early.
Creighton still have their guard. I mean, they get their guys back. That guy was injured.
Creighton's got Nembhard at guard. I mean, he was tremendous against Baylor.
Yes.
They can really go. Now, Texas caught – it was weird. When they played Creighton here, they had just come off of playing in Hawaii. Remember that?
Right.
They played it in the – what is that? The Maui Invitational or whatever that tournament is. And, you know – Creighton didn't shoot the ball great that night, but you know, it was a really good game. I mean, the Gonzaga game wasn't a good game. Texas beat the daylights out of Gonzaga, ran them out of the gym on that night to start the season. And then Creighton was a really good game. Creighton didn't have a great shooting night, and Texas got a victory there. But, yeah, the last game Chris Beard coached at Texas was early December against Illinois. Texas lost at Madison Square Garden, and then the incident happened, and we know where it went from there. But Rodney Terry took over officially on December the 12th. And still doing a great job for the Texas Longhorns, who get ready for the Musketeers of Xavier in the Sweet 16 as we get this thing cranking up. Yeah, great finish at the World Baseball Classic. They'll go again tonight with the USA and Japan for the championship. USA looking to defend.
I'm having a hard time figuring out why Aaron Rodgers, why this deal is taking so long. You're either going to give up a first round or a second round or a second or a third or fourth. You're not getting 2 first round picks for Aaron Rodgers. That's not going to be part of the deal with the Jets, I don't believe.
Why not?
No.
They don't, I mean,
not for a,
the Jets don't really have an option.
Not for a 40-some-year-old guy who every year, 39, who's thinking of, when am I going to quit? Am I quitting after this year? I just don't think they're going to get 2 firsts.
Well, I mean, that's your opinion that he's going to retire after next year. Aaron Rodgers hadn't said he's going to retire after next year. I mean, that's your – I mean
– But he's going on retirement every year since when?
Well, sure. I mean, if you're acquiring Aaron Rodgers, you're acquiring the drama. I mean, that's
– Oh, but, there's no doubt.
But to Ty's point, the Jets, this is – they've made him the priority. They're not interested in Lamar Jackson, apparently. They passed on Derek Carr, and they're in on Aaron Rodgers, and they've made the moves that –
But they got to know what the compensation is by now, wouldn't they?
Well, look, now that the deal's done, the Packers are saying, look, we're not giving up our four-time MVP quarterback. Two of those have come in the last 3 years without, you know, commensurate compensation. And they're using the precedent of the Russell Wilson trade just one offseason ago, the Deshaun Watson trade. I mean, I know Deshaun's a younger quarterback, so that has to be taken into account. And I don't know where the odds are as far as draft picks go. As I said yesterday, my guess would be is that the Jets will give up a first-round draft pick. They don't want it to be this year's. And this year's is pick number 13 in the first round. That's the pick that the Packers would want to acquire Aaron Rodgers. And I think the Jets are trying to hold steady and say, look, we'll give up next year's first-round pick. We'll give up future compensation, but we want that pick at 13. And that's kind of what's holding up the deal potentially. But you're right. I mean, it's really between the two organizations. Aaron Rodgers, in his visit on the Pat McAfee show last year,
said he wants to play for the Jets.
Said, I mean, look, they've hired Nathaniel Hackett, his offensive coordinator. They've signed Alan Lazard, one of his guys. They're talking to Randall Cobb. They're doing the things Aaron Rodgers wants, and that would get all signs point to him getting there. It's really between the two sides to work out compensation. It'll get worked out, and at some point, and I think it's kind of the game of chicken. If you're negotiating, you're the Packers, you're like, we're in no rush.
Well, he's not playing for us.
We're in no rush. You know, we can wait on this thing, but, you know, we'll see how that plays out. But you can understand the Packers saying, well, we're not trading a quarterback of this caliber and not getting what the Russell Wilson package, Matt Stafford package, I mean, what these deals have brought in return. We're not going to give them up for a bag of nickels. Now, and the Jets' other side of that is, hey, we're taking on this huge contract. Well, yeah, you are. You're going to get Aaron Rodgers.
You're getting Aaron Rodgers. Like Denver got Russell Wilson.
Exactly. And that's
none of that hinges on what happens, what has happened.
This says none of any GM in the league has given a first-round pick to a prickly, selfish, uninvested 39-year-old quarterback.
Well, they're going to give up a first-rounder. It's just when are they going to give it? They're talking about two first-rounders. That can't be part of the deal, right?
Well, let me say.
Two first-rounders?
Russell Wilson was traded to the Broncos last year. Let me make sure I get this compensation right. Traded for two first-round picks. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, I believe that's true.
And then they signed into a mega contract. Two first-round picks, two second-round picks, and a fifth, plus quarterback Drew Lock. I mean, and you say what
and
you want.
And Noah Fant.
And a tight end. Tight end went back, right? The Broncos, yeah. So,
but none of that is contingent on anything that's happened after Russell Wilson got there. He sucked.
You didn't know that at the time. Aaron Rodgers could suck. I'm just talking about from the Packers side of things. They're saying just last year a Pro Bowl quarterback was traded.
Correct.
For two first-round picks, two second-round picks, and a fifth, plus some players. And you want us to give up a third-round pick or to get a third-round pick? That's not going to happen.
No. Well,
and again, Russell Wilson's 34 years old. But to the texter's point, to a prickly, selfish, uninvested quarterback, well, that sounds like Russell Wilson. Prickly, selfish, uninvested. That's what he became in Denver. But again, if you're just looking at the market, the Packers would be silly not to ask for more, right? I mean, you're giving up a guy who...
Oh, no. If I'm the Packers, I'm asking for exactly what I'm saying they're probably not going to get. I'm asking for two first-round picks for Aaron Rodgers.
And I haven't heard the two side. I haven't heard a number of what they're asking for, but you can understand. Look at what the Rams gave up to get Matt Stafford. And again, age matters. Age matters.
Yes, it does when it comes to these quarterbacks.
And I think the Packers would have to be understanding of that there's only so many more years in this guy, Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson, though, was mid-30s when they traded him. So they'll work it out. It'll get done. I mean, it's really just organizations negotiating at this point. Let's dive into our Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by our friends at Audiovisual Consultations, avconsultations.com online.
Audiovisual Consultations and Tom McKay, the really smart guys who never make you feel stupid.
This says, guys, the Packers are not going to be stuck with Rodgers. It's a divorce. I think the Jets have as much leverage as they do. Yeah, well, I think you can make an argument both ways. I mean, both sides know it's over.
Yeah, we're going to be playing without a quarterback in New York. How's that work?
And I also think there's some compensation of, okay, we will give up the first-round pick you want, But the more we give you from the Jets side of things, the more money we need you to take on this contract. We need you to eat some of this. You know, if we're taking on the entire contract, then that's going to have to minimize some what we have to give up to get it, because you're trying to get that contract off your books. You know, make it worth our while. And think about it with the Matt Stafford trade. The Lions were willing to take on Jared Goff's contract. That was big in that deal, that the Rams couldn't have made the deal if the Lions weren't willing to take on the contract of Jared Goff, which they did, plus the draft pick compensation, which it's worked out good for the Lions because Jared Goff's become a pretty good player for them at the quarterback position, and Matt Stafford and the Rams won a Super Bowl. So those negotiations will be ongoing. All right, Buck, let me mention in our coach's corner, Longhorns are back on the practice field today. It'd be interesting. They're back from spring break. They're going to the stadium. We'll have a Steve Sarkisian availability after practice today. So tomorrow morning, we'll get to hear from Coach Sark on the progress through the three practices and what the plan is moving forward. Also from our coach's corner, how about the story down at Texas State? Did you see where G.J. Kinney, the new head coach of the Bobcats, has hired David Bailiff, the lifer at Texas State? David Bailiff is back to be a special assistant to the head coach.
There you go.
Yeah. David Bailiff in a video said he's now the oldest graduate assistant in coaching history.
There you go.
But, of course, David Bailiff played at Texas State when it was Southwest Texas for Jim Wacker, coached at Texas State. That's a cool hire for G.J. Kinney as a young guy making his way as head coach to bring back somebody as solid as David Bailiff. And then there's the Jimbo Fisher story. Can we hear this? Now, the Aggies had their first practice yesterday of spring. They're starting theirs after spring break, whereas the Longhorns went a week and then had spring, and now they're back. Aggies are up and running. And obviously the big storyline for the Aggies is the disappointing season of last year. Began the season ranked in the top 10, and what did they finish, 4 and whatever?
New season for them.
New season, and yep. A new offensive coordinator with Bobby Petrino hired. Bobby Petrino, former Arkansas, Louisville. Speaking of Lamar Jackson, Coach Lamar Jackson at Louisville. Well, he's there to run the offense. So here it is, the first press conference, and you can hear this question of Jimbo Fisher of, well, who's calling plays? Who's calling plays when we get to game day?
And what about who makes the play calls? Would that be him or you?
Yeah, I mean, we'll go through that as we go.
Go back to the back.
Plan
to
on him making calls. Plan on him calling plays. I have no problem with that at all.
Right side. Back.
So cagey and weird. It's like, what? Like, you know.
That decision wasn't made when you hired when you sat down with him, you're going to be the play caller.
Let me hear that again. What did he say? He said, we'll work that out as we go. Is that what he said?
Yeah, that's just a little.
Give me that
hesitant.
Again, Ty.
About who makes the play calls? Would that be him or you?
Yeah, I mean, we'll go through that as we go.
We'll go through that as we go.
Back to the back.
Plan
the
on
right.
Him making calls. Plan on him calling plays. I have no problem with that at all.
Yeah, you do. You got a problem with that just say he's going to be our play caller.
And that's interesting because what you just said is true. Because most people believe that Jimbo Fisher was forced to hire a new offensive coordinator by the boosters who couldn't afford to fire him because his
and that's
buyout.
Not what they want to hear. They want to hear the guy's going to call the plays.
You think that's a story in college football. In College Station, like, remember, Jimbo Fisher, the huge contract, they just gave him a huge extension. His buyout was too exorbitant to move off of him. But the push was, our offense needs to join the 20th century here. We need to, the offense is way old school. Jimbo's running the same offense he was running back at, Florida State.
Yeah, your job, Jimbo, is to make sure that the other things around the university or the kids smoking weed behind the bus doesn't happen. That's what you need to do.
In the locker room.
Yeah, you need to make sure that that's not happening on it, that the team is all together, that everybody's a lot of kumbaya going on. That's what your job needs to be. Let that guy call the plays. But he's not giving that up that easy. He's still going to have his hand in it.
Yeah, he is. Well, again, play the picture. Forced to do it because he didn't want to do it. It's his program. He's always called plays. Even when he was an offensive coordinator for Nick Saban, and then he's Bobby Bowden's offensive coordinator. Then when he's the head coach, he's calling plays. This guy calls plays, and that's what he does. And he's been told that we need a new one because we can't fire you.
So, I would think that dude would like to be the figurehead kind of guy and chill around campus. He doesn't.
Mm-mm.
He wants to be right in the thick of things.
He's
calling
control. He's a head coach. So he remember the coaching search for the new offensive coordinator took a while. This was not a quick process, and there was talk of names like Garrett Riley, Lincoln Riley's brother, who ended up at Clemson, which there were several different candidates. And there was
Cliff Funsbury.
Cliff Kingsbury. What'd you call him, Funsbury?
Yeah.
Well, that led to conversations that maybe Jimbo's being stubborn about this and isn't willing to concede play-calling duties. Well, then you end up hiring Bobby Petrino, And on the first question of the first spring practice, we're not sure who's calling the play. So, you know, that's
I thought
just
I would have had that down over dinner with Bobby Petrino when we sat down and said, this is how much money you're making. You're going to make $1.5 million here. You're calling plays. I'm going to be the head coach.
If you're hiring him.
Yeah. And I don't think you'd hesitate on that.
You know, that'll be interesting to follow. Who knows? Maybe, you know, mountain out of a molehill so far, but it seems like that would have been an easy question. No, Bobby's going to be calling plays. We'll work through that.
Then he goes, I don't have a problem with that. I hope not.
Also, do you have a problem with this, that in the days of our quarterback lives here in our coach's corner, two things. One, at Auburn's pro day, Auburn College, Auburn University, they're having a pro day, and Cam Newton's going to work out. Cam Newton's going to be working out there because the man with the funny hats. He's going to be throwing at the pro day. Of course, he was the first overall pick 12 years ago in the draft, won an MVP, but he's been out of the league. He's 34 years old, but he says he's going to be working out because, says, tell me how these randoms keep getting jobs. Ain't 32
these
blank.
Randos.
He says there ain't 32 MFers better than me, Cam Newton said. So the randoms.
Well, somebody's got to throw to the players.
Well, no, he's going to work out. He wants to throw.
No, please don't tell me he's doing 40s and crap
I
like that.
I don't know what he's going to do.
That dude is only throwing balls. That guy's not broad jumping and doing all that kind of stuff. That guy's just going to throw balls to guys doing out routes and post patterns and things.
Well, if we see the Cam Newton we saw at the end of his time with the Patriots and then back with the Panthers, he's going to be throwing them into the dirt.
Yes. Come on,
it's
Cam.
Not going to look good. So we'll keep an
Don't
eye on
dare
Auburn,
do a 40.
Auburn Pro Day coming up. And then there's Adam Thielen, Buck. Adam Thielen, who signed a new deal with the Carolina Panthers this week. Nice pickup for the Panthers, right, who have the number one overall pick. Who are they going to take with the pick? I will say that Frank Reich, the head coach of the Panthers, had a press conference in which he said, hey, you know, don't make anything about the height thing, because it's been said that Frank Reich, the coach of the Panthers, doesn't like shorter quarterbacks. He prefers a taller quarterback. He said, don't buy into that. You know, we're still working through the process of who we're going to draft. We're going to draft a quarterback. Is it C.J. Stroud? Is it Bryce Young? Is it someone else? That'll be the question. But they have signed Adam Thielen, to which Adam Thielen went on the Pat McAfee show this week and says, candidly, it feels like the Carolina Panthers have a real shot at winning the Super Bowl. And that Andy Dalton was a major reason why he chose the Panthers.
Yeah, okay. You're going to help them maybe, but you're not sending them to the Super Bowl, Adam. That's or Andy Dalton, no.
I know you're going to gas up your team and talk good about them.
Yeah.
Okay, but come on, man. Win the Super Bowl?
No.
And the big major reason is that you chose Carolina is Andy Dalton? Where are we here? Where are we at?
I didn't even realize they signed Andy Dalton.
Yeah, again, that was when the backups were getting their chunks. They're getting their bags of money. And,
that's when Cam said all these, who are these guys getting all this money?
Yeah, the randoms.
the randoms.
But, you know, the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton, he's there to be a mentor and a backup to whoever they draft and maybe be a bridge quarterback
till
that quarterback's ready. But, Adam Thielen going to Carolina because he wants to go to the bowl. He wants to go to the big game. All right. There you go. Take your thoughts. Those are some thoughts in the coach's corner. Longhorns back on the field. Jimbo Fisher, David Bailiff back at Texas State, which is pretty cool. We will certainly talk more about it. We'll get into the Houston Texans coming up as well. How about the Texans continuing their flurry of offseason activity, adding Dalton Schultz and Devin Singletary? We'll grade those moves coming up.
I think the Dalton Schultz move is a good move for them.
I want to hear your thoughts on that coming up. Plus the hot or not topics before the end of this hour. It's a busy Tuesday here on B&E.
Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you as we roll into this Tuesday. Busy week. Looking forward to the March Madness, the Sweet 16, will pick back up on Thursday. Four games Thursday, four Friday. Of course, Longhorns play the late game Friday night. Also, the calm before the storm on this Tuesday because we've got the Dell Match Play team off tomorrow. Scotty Scheffler back to defend his WGC Dell Technologies Match Play Championship. He's the number one seed that tees off tomorrow with the group play. Nine of the top 10 players in the world are here. The only one, as we mentioned, not here will be Justin Thomas. But you've got Scottie Scheffler, John Rahm, Roy McIlroy, Patrick Cantlay, Max Homa, Xander Schauffele, Will Zalatoris, and Victor Hovland all in the tournament. Jordan Spieth, of course, is here as well. And we know the group play happens Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and then there'll be one winner out of each of the 16 groups that will play into the knockout round into the weekend. And if you're looking for featured matches tomorrow, Buck, I can already tell you, if you're going to be out at Austin Country Club tomorrow, how about Group 2? John Rahm, the world's number two player, will be head-to-head with Ricky Fowler and match by world's number 49 in the world. That'll be a much followed.
I love that Group 5. I love Group 5.
Max Homa, Hideki Matsuyama, Kevin Kisner, and Justin Su.
Yeah.
They'll be playing. And, yeah, Rory McIlroy is going to be in a group with Keegan Bradley, Dan McCarthy, and Scott Stallings. Yeah, but that Group 2, John Rahm will go head-to-head with Ricky Fowler.
Yep.
Billy Horschel will be facing Keith Mitchell. How about those two?
Keith Mitchell has had quite a year, too, so far.
Number 22 against number 39 in the world. Those, Billy Horschel and Keith Mitchell, a couple of red-ass guys, man. Those,
absolutely.
Those are intense dudes right there. And John Rahm, are you kidding me? The Spaniard? That'll be a good group. I like that group, too. That'll be a lot of fun. But, yeah, a lot of good golfers, a lot of good matches head-to-head. I love match play. How about Group 8? Victor Hovland, number 8 player in the world, is going to face Matt Kuchar, who slid all the way back to number 39.
Come on, Cooch.
Cooch. Yeah, there'll be some really good head-to-head battles starting tomorrow.
Kuchar's really good in this tournament, though, isn't he?
He's done well.
He's a good match play player. He's just real consistent, right? So he's not going to beat himself, so you've got to beat him. Got to make birdies. On this course, you got to make birdies because that course is
I like the Burns and Seamus Powers and Adam Scott.
Yeah, it's
Adam Hadwin.
Yeah, man. So it starts tomorrow. So the groups have been announced. The tee sheet and the tee times are out, so you can be out there tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday for group play. Ty, you've made every trip out there. Are you going to be out there this week?
I'm hoping to make it out there Thursday.
Okay. And by the way, Thursday's supposed to be a windy day. Wind could become a big factor.
Down by the water there?
Oh, man. Look, well, the winds always seem to be up down by the water, but Lake Austin. But the weather forecast, you know, today's going to be high of 74 with this rain that we're dealing with, but 83 tomorrow. But then, yes, my app says it, 84, but the wind is the feature. 84 and windy, south breeze or heavy gusty winds could play a factor there. And then Friday with group play into the knockout round of the weekend. Have you ever been out on a boat out there, Ty? Like just sitting there on a boat?
Not during the tournament, but I know last year I noticed they kind of made them back up a little bit more than
they
the
did.
Years past.
Yeah, because
they was generally beer cans or something?
Doug Pope Paul has the Commodore and a little pup that's out there.
Yeah.
That they rent out. And you can see, you know, you can see the hole by the water, the two holes.
I remember the first few years there was just like boat, like regular like wake surfing,
and they were
just out there partying.
Believe me, they quieted that down. Austin police, who still patrol that water, moved them on back. They've got a.
I mean, Party Cove's right there.
Yeah,
it's right across the lake.
Great place to come up for the fireworks on the 4th on the boat.
Says pray for the service industry in town with the Kuchar here. No tips. Hashtag no tips.
Come on, man. Come on, Cooch.
Remember when he didn't tip his Mexican caddy that helped him win the damn tournament?
Oh.
Where he stiffed that dude?
That dude got more pay than he ever got that week.
You're still arguing for that. Poor
come
sap.
On.
Come on, man.
Just hold this bag, caddy.
That's more than he read the greens for him. Matt Kuchar never played the course. This dude helps him win the tournament. He gives him like a nickel.
He gave him more than a nickel. He didn't give him 10%, I guarantee you that.
Come on, cheapskate Kuchar. What's up with that?
That dude worked for him for the week, didn't he?
Did he work for him for the whole weekend. He looped for him the whole weekend. I remember that story down in Mac. He won the tournament.
Remember we saw Cooch was just grinding?
Yeah, the Cooch.
7-iron in his hand.
Cooch, man. That was
Ty, it was dark. It was dark outside, and Cooch was out there in the dark grinding. 2 hours later, same club in his hand, still grinding on shots.
Well, because we did the show out there.
We did the show
one of the
out
first
there.
Years.
Yep.
And we were out there right by the driving range.
Oh, my God.
And as the sun came up, there was Kuchar. And then the show was over. We're leaving. There's Kuchar.
There's Kuchar still.
Still grinding away. Come on, Cooch.
Man.
Got that 7-iron down, do you?
Whew.
But it does show the work behind the scenes for those guys. It doesn't just happen.
Do you think this is true, too? When I'm talking about I'd like to be there, Nick Saban, no nonsense, would you not think this camp right here this spring is no nonsense on the 40 acres, too?
Needs to be.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to elevate the program, you got to elevate everything that you do.
I know. I mean, coaches do their best and all that stuff. But would you think this is a no nonsense, a real grinder this spring? Here,
well,
I got to believe it's a, you know, no excuse. Let's get this done. Let's be buttoned up in every way.
Let's not worry about having fun.
No, yeah, this is a battle for starting gigs.
When I say
and
having
roster
fun,
spots.
This is one of those deals. You're working for a job here now.
Yeah, I think as we've said going into it, this should be the most competitive camp the Longhorns, regardless of coach, the most competitive camp the Longhorns have had in a long time. Where you've got good players and a lot of returning, but your entire offense returns.
Yeah, and I got to believe if I'm a running back and Bijan is gone, this is my spot now.
Sure. I mean, that's the one position where the two guys aren't back. Everything else on offense is back. So you've got, you know, returning players who are trying to fend off young guys who are trying to come and take their spot. Same thing on defense, especially in the secondary. It should be. I mean, it should be a very competitive, very intense camp. I mean, and that's really what's going to flip this thing from a average to a below average program to something where Steve Sarkisian wants to take it. I know there was the reports that, because look, the media only gets a short window to film and watch practice, and then they shut it down and everybody's got to leave. But in the short time, I believe it was, remember the first week they practiced Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I think it was the Wednesday practice that Steve Sarkisian was visibly not happy with.
Was that the one before they left?
It was the second practice. Not happy with either the effort or just the way things were being executed, and let them know it. And that's really what has to change. I mean, you practice how you play, and this team's battling for spots. Who wants to earn the starting spot? Steve Sarkisian has bucked that Tom Herman trend of rotating players at positions. Right? It's once you earn the spot, it's yours, and you got to earn it though.
And you got to keep it
on a day by day basis. And I think every position should be. You mentioned running backs, quarterbacks. You know, Arch Manning pushing Quinn Ewers. The offensive line has a lot of depth now. Guys who started last year, just because they were there last year, doesn't mean they have to start this year.
Got a new wide receiver coach. You're trying to impress that dude.
Right. I mean, you're new wide receivers coach. You're dropping balls. You're not doing things right. Well, we got guys here that are going to take that spot. That's what we need, is we need consistency out of each spot. But practice number 4 today at the stadium. We'll hear from Steve Sarkisian afterwards as the practice regimen kicks up. Of course, the spring game coming up April 15th. April 15 for the Longhorns. But, yeah, I mean, isn't that the only way you elevate?
Yeah, for sure.
Where you are to where you want to be. You have to acquire talent. You have to have better players. That was clear. When Steve Sarkisian got here, you didn't have a ton of talent.
You have that now.
Now you've added, a lot of it, right? A lot of good players.
For sure.
But, as Darryl Royal was famous for saying, potential means you ain't done it yet. I mean, and that's really where this program is. And Steve Sarkisian, I think, has it poised to take that next step. But, yeah, man, you better have your thumb on top of this thing, and because that's how it's going to improve. It really is. But if you have natural competitors in your program, guys who like to compete and like to get after it, well, if you're 2-3 deep at a spot, you better keep that spot on a day-by-day basis, and that leads to good practices and that's what's going to improve the program. But, yeah, hopefully if Steve Sarkisian learned that, if learned one thing from Nick Saban, that's it, right? But what's the book that was written about Nick Saban's program? It's fourth and goal every day.
Every day.
It's fourth and goal every day. That's just how we operate. It doesn't matter what day it is. This is how we operate as a program. We're on edge and on our P's and Q's every single day. It's an important day every
day.
Those
dudes are on edge this spring there. Man.
Fourth and goal every day. Fourth and goal every single day. It is one and done for the Longhorns in the March Madness. I saw this note. You feeling this there, T.Y. and Buck? That who was this? SB Nation. SB Nation online ranked the 16 teams 1-16 as far as best chance to win the whole thing, win the national championship. Number 1 on their list, Houston. Number 2, Alabama. Number 3, Texas. Texas Longhorns. That would be the number 1-2 seed left, of course, because Bama and Houston are 1 seeds left. Texas 3rd as far as favored teams go. Princeton, who they play this Friday night, is all the way down at number 13. Excuse me, Princeton. Xavier, all the way down at 11.
Yeah, I have Texas either 3 or 4. Tennessee I have is one of those top teams the way they're playing right now.
Well, I would have. I think Tennessee was a Final Four team before Zakai Ziegler, the point guard, got hurt. And it's an ACL. He's going to be out for the year. You hate that for the young guy, but he was such an important piece. And think about this. We got to see Rick Barnes for a long time. Rick Barnes without his point guard. I mean, take TJ Ford, DJ Augustine, any of these guys off of a Rick Barnes team. And the team, it's not like he's got these great offensive sets, right? It's not Rick Barnes not known for offense. Zakai Ziegler was his.
To what they did to Duke, they dismantled that group.
Well, then they just did it with physicality. They were a veteran, really physical team that just took apart and you know, just really intimidated, I thought, Duke in that game.
And that's crazy because that young team was just starting to really feel it, too.
Yeah, that was physicality over finesse. That was age over youth in that game, in my mind. And
that was,
I would also,
ugly over beauty, was it?
Oh, yeah. And I would also say that the officials allowed that. I mean, they allowed it to be a very physical game, which is what Tennessee needed it to be. But they're down at number 7 as the 4 seed. I would say if Zakai Ziegler, the floor general, was there, I think they absolutely would be a Final Four caliber team because they have every other piece, defense, rebounding, size. But a Rick Barnes team without his quarterback, really any team without your point guard is going to struggle. But his teams in particular would be problematic for them. And Zakai Ziegler was a really good player. Both ends, too, by the way. Great defensive mm-hmm. guy, player on the defensive end of the floor for the Tennessee Volunteers. So Tennessee, what do they have them? Number 7, followed by Miami, Kansas State. What about Kansas State with Marquise Noel?
Seems like they caught their second win.
You people starting to wonder if the Wildcats, if he can pull like a – who are some of the great point guards that have led their teams all –
Kemba Walker.
Kemba Walker kind of thing, one of those kind of players. I mean, he was unbelievable against Kentucky, and now they're – he's a handful on a game-by-game basis. You add Keontae Johnson to that mix, who's also an NBA player. That's what the Big 12 was dealing with all year long with those two dudes. And that team, Jerome Tang, doing a great job. We'll come back. When we do, Ty will lead us through some hot or not topics, things we've missed halfway through this show. Also, more from the top stories of the day coming up. We'll get into these signings by the Texans, the Cowboys making moves. We'll get the latest from the two Texas teams in the National Football League. It's B&E on the Horn.
What's hot? And what's not?
What's Hot, What's Not is brought to you by Texas Orthopedics, the largest independent orthopedic practice in Central Texas. Visit us at txortho.com to learn more and to schedule an appointment.
Oh boy, hot or not on this Tuesday morning? The weather not hot, fog and drizzly. Just be careful out there. One of those kind of days. You want to crawl back into bed. At some level. At least it's warmer. It's not in the 50s. Temperatures are now into the 70s and when it tops out today. Told you yesterday was International Day of Happiness.
Yes.
International Day for Happiness. You know what the happiest country in the world is? It's not the United States of America.
Denmark?
Denmark is number 2. Good guess, Ty. Good guess. Number 1 is Finland. Finland, Denmark, Iceland.
All the Norwegian states.
Wonder why that would be.
The Scandinavian states.
Why did you guess that, Ty?
That's a random fact I thought I knew.
Random fact I thought I knew. Also on the not hot side, did you see that there's a city in Saskatchewan, Canada? It's called Regina. It's the name of the town. It's the capital city. And they are taking heat now. The tourism board has had to apologize after they launched a new ad campaign last week with two slogans that aren't subtle. One of them was, "Show us your Regina." And then Regina, the city that rhymes with fun.
There you go.
Yeah, they had to apologize for that. That's really how you say that?
That's not very Canadian of them.
No.
I think it's Regina, but it says here that the way they pronounce it, it rhymes with you know what.
Yes.
Regina. So.
Mangina.
Yes, exactly. Also in Hot or Not, Ty, there's been a poll. We always love our polls and surveys, but in a poll of online... folks, which leftovers can be eaten cold that you're most okay with? Number 1 on the list, pizza. 83% of people said they're fine eating pizza cold, followed by fried chicken, quesadillas, and bacon.
Cold quesadillas?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd do the quesadillas. Pizza for sure.
Bacon for sure.
Who doesn't like cold pizza?
I don't.
Really?
Can't do any cold leftovers.
Nothing.
I can do the bacon.
I've told y'all, I can barely do leftovers. I know it's...
That's kind of weird.
It's, yeah.
And you eat a lot of fast
loaf.
Food.
Meatloaf leftover. fry a little meatloaf up. I'll do that any day.
I would there say you go. Me too, the delicacies I've eaten most in my life cold would be pizza, probably macaroni and cheese, because my mom used to make that all the time. And
cold?
Then just, oh, yeah.
Ugh.
Let's dig in.
I see.
I got time to heat it up.
I see lasagna down here. I can't do that.
I know. Look at
eat that cold.
Number last on the list is biscuits and gravy. There's no way you can eat that cold.
That's terrible cold. The gravy gets all clumpy.
And chili is down at the bottom. That's got to be hot. But yeah, most meat products I could do.
Never had cold mashed potatoes. No, thank you.
Just the regular, like, shredded chicken's all right.
Sure.
Show us your vagina. They thought that was a good idea in
bad
Saskatchewan.
Idea. Just bad.
Hey now.
Come on, y'all.
Hey now. What is it, Jerry Jones? What's the cut we play? I want me some glory hole. I mean, come on. There's some things you can't say. And Jerry was talking about it when he was digging oil wells back in the day. But we know where that can go. But, T.Y., what do you have for us in Hot or Not? By the way, coming up in our next segment, we're going to reset your headlines. Also, hear from Nick Saban. Did Nick Saban at Alabama practice take a shot a little bit at Nate Oates, the Alabama basketball coach? We'll let you hear that. Also, Deion Sanders weighing in at Colorado on old school. We got all these schools now and teams back at their spring practice. What do you have for us, Ty?
Well, Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, he recently signed with the Las Vegas Raiders, and he has been offered a kind of an endorsement deal. He has been offered free sex for life by a local brothel.
Something tells me Jimmy G doesn't need much help in that.
No,
realm.
He doesn't.
Well, he's been known to go on some dates with some porn stars.
He has.
A date with a adult entertainer.
Very
yes,
sexually active man. So do you think he takes up that deal?
I'm going to say no. He can get his own.
This is a sports bar and a brothel in one.
Hold on. What?
Who tried that? Didn't Lamar Odom try that? Lamar tried that, right? What happened to him?
He didn't go well for him.
I think he's alleging now that he didn't take any drugs that night, and they tried to kill him at that brothel or something crazy like that.
They took all his money. I know that over and over again.
Yeah, because he rang his credit card.
Oh,
and
they just ran those cards,
and,
man.
It did not go good for Lamar.
No,
Odom.
It did not.
It says leftover spaghetti is good cold. Barbecue cold. I like barbecue cold. I'm good with that.
Spaghetti? Oh, no.
It says
nothing with the sauce.
Oh, Colonel Flowers has weighed into Utah. It says, Ty, you need 18 minutes in the Army. You will love cold leftovers.
That'd probably be true, yeah. Don't really have a choice, do you?
No. Nope. When there are no options, you learn to like what you got. All right, we'll come back. We'll hear from Nick Saban. We'll hear from Deion Sanders. We'll hear from Jimbo Fisher. Who's calling the plays? He or Bobby Petrino?
Not quite sure.
Did he clear that up yesterday? What are we doing here? It's B&E on the Horn.